Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, the day after the Super Bowl. Many people said, yeah, I watched the Super Bowl. Many people said I looked at the Super Bowl halftime show for signs and stuff. And others said no. So the Kansas City Chiefs won, in case anyone wants to know or doesn't know. That was last night, of course. It seems like it's interesting. It falls when it does. It seems like more people tune into the Super Bowl. More people want to just entertain themselves with that they just want to be entertained. And I look at this and I wonder often, is this something that really at this point in time, that the majority of people should be focused on? I don't think so. Or any given period of time. Because what we're seeing right now and what we've seen over the last really half century is this diversion from what is important to this mindless entertainment. So I did not watch the Super Bowl. I have to tell you, I did not do that. And I used to, it used to be somewhat important to me and it's not anymore. So that's just where I stand. All right. A lot of news taking place, a lot of things going on. Of course, we saw the closing arguments, or at least the portion of the closing arguments in the Senate today. How'd you like those? Just asking. Just curious. I found it pretty, well, again, you might compare it to the Super Bowl. You might look at that as bread and circus. You might look at this as a distraction. When I look at this, just very quickly, in terms of the impeachment, is this ongoing coup against President Trump. The ongoing coup against the American people and an attempt to overturn the will of the American people. This is the way I look at it, and this is why I feel that that's by orders of magnitude much more important than the Super Bowl. I think that we have an internal coup within our government going on today. And I think many people would agree with that. But by the way, last night, because of the Super Bowl and because some people had families coming in and the diversions and distractions, the Patreon meeting instead of last night will be this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. Okay. Just in case anyone didn't get the announcement, didn't see with the video I did, for Patreon members, the meeting for Patreon members will be this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. All right. So a couple of things I was looking at, and there is this really very interesting video by Dr. Paul Cottrell about the Wuhan virus, the novel coronavirus, and the different strains and the genetic makeup of this. Now, this very deep. It was about 30 minutes or so. I'll put the link in the description box at HagmanReportLive.com. I've got to tell you. In fact, I might even feature the video in HagmanReport.com. Maybe I've already done that. I'm actually not sure. But the reason I mention that is he gets into the genetic, chemical, amino acid, I mean, really at the granular level of detail of this specific virus. We'll let you watch it. Again, he's coming at this from a genetic standpoint. When he initially looked at this, I'll just give you to whet your appetite here. He looked at this as a bat SARS kind of thing, in the greater magnitude of the virus. All right. So, however, finding different things, he's saying, we have to reevaluate certain things, reevaluate the analysis of the chemical and genetic makeup of this. All right. I'm not sure chemical is the right word. biological or genetic makeup of this. Before I get going, I want to mention that, you know, the year 2020, it shows up a lot in science fiction. A lot of people predicted that by now we'd be teleporting to work, you know, a la the Jetsons, or living on Mars. And a lot of these predictions were wrong. The truth is we're always going to get our future wrong, which is at least in the larger sense. I mean, we, you know, we make plans and God laughs, right? This is why we need to get life insurance correct. This is where Policy Genius can help. And I've watched Policy Genius do wonders for family members, friends. Everyone I tell about Policy Genius, they love it. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. And you know what? Once you apply, the Policy Genius team, they'll handle all of the paperwork and red tape, and there's quite a bit. Policy Genius doesn't, they just don't make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance or disability insurance. Hey, if you care for it, you can insure it. So if your science fiction dreams for 2020 still haven't become science fact, don't get discouraged. Get life insurance. It just takes a few minutes to find your best price and apply at policygenius.com. That is policygenius.com. Policygenius.com. We're going to get the future wrong, but we better get life insurance right. That's policygenius.com. All right. Now, to address the coronavirus, I was speaking with Ted Brower yesterday, Dr. Ted Brower. Now, he's taken hundreds of hours in various courses as part of his education and as part of his degrees, and from microbiology to, well, I can let him tell you, but we had a really interesting discussion over the weekend. And it was interesting because I was in contact with three people from early Friday through early Sunday, mid-afternoon on Sunday. A microbiologist, a medical doctor, and a person who specializes in infectious diseases. And actually, the latter, this doctor, I've known probably for 30 years. I mean, this guy is right up there with, you know, whatever I contract in terms of infectious diseases, I would hope that he would be the guy to handle my case. So the information I received from really all three of these sources is consistent with what my understanding is, with what Ted Brower has discovered. As the more we spoke, the more Ted spoke to me about this virus and his findings, I looked at my notes. And by the way, these are my notes. I mean, I don't know if you can, who cares, right? I mean, but you can see. I looked at my notes and I thought, my goodness, I've heard that before. So I asked Ted to come on the first hour, and here we are. So Ted, healthmasters.com. By the way, you know, there is something that you can do as a proactive measure, and I just want to get this right out of the gate. As a proactive measure, go to healthmasters.com. That is healthmasters.com. Order the Hagmann immune system or immune survival kit right there. There it is on your screen. Hagmann Immune Survival Kit. Order that. And look, they might be out of stock by the time you hear this. Maybe you're hearing this on a replay. Get whatever you can from that and take it. Take it. That's healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Hagmann Immune Survival Kit. Don't play around with your health. Okay. Do not play around with your health. Because this is something a little bit different, even than I thought of it last week. You know, Dr. Brower, Ted was on last Monday. And there's, between last Monday and this Monday, a heck of a lot's changed. So let's bring Ted on and let's have him discuss this with us. Go ahead. Ted, how are you?
Doug, thanks so much for having me back on again. And I just want to just urge everybody that we don't live in a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And the stuff I'm going to discuss today is going to seem kind of strange to you at first. I discussed some of it last week. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. And this coronavirus has gotten worse. Last week I gave you guys on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being board up your windows and seal the windows and doors and basically don't leave the house. That would be a 10. I said it was about 3 or 4. This week it's going to ease up to about a 4 to 5. It's still not a full-blown pandemic in the United States, but we've got a lot of major things that are happening. And we need to understand something. Let me go back for just a second. We have to realize, and I've got the documentation. This is my opinion from what I've read from years of reading research, and I believe I've got the documents to prove this, and I can show you the documents, whether they be refuted or not, I don't know, is that the AIDS epidemic and the AIDS problem that we had in Africa and with the homosexual community out of New York that started back in the 70s and 80s was engineered. And the problem with all of this stuff is that we don't think that people do stuff like this. But we need to realize that our governments and governments around the world have massive stockpiles of bioweapons. And last week I read you several of the letters that a friend of mine in China had sent me about it being a basically an apocalyptic world in China, almost like the Omega Man with Charlton Heston, in which there's nobody on the street, the schools are closed, cities are cordoned off all over the country, hundreds of millions of people now are basically quarantined, and they're not allowed to leave their cities. Cities have erected barriers around the cities, you know, bricks on the sidewalk, you know, dirt on the, you know, on the roads, trying to keep people from walking in. And about 5 million people escaped one of the major quarantine centers before they quarantined it. And now we have a lot of people that have come into the United States. Now our air traffic has been stopped going in and out of China. Thank goodness that's finally happened. And so I pray that we get a handle on this before this thing goes exponential like it's doing in China right now. The graph on this is going like this as far as the growth curve on this particular virus in China. And we've got to ask ourselves why. Another thing I want to talk about too is race-specific bioweapons. A lot of people don't understand that via the human genome, the human DNA, that you can actually target certain individuals with certain ethnic groups. Let's say you don't like Jews. You can pretty much target them if you'd like, or Germans, or British, or French, or Scottish, or whatever. You can pick anything you want and target it based on viral load. And we need to understand that this is very, very, very – through CRISPR gene editing, they have the ability to do this. And I've warned people for years, Doug, not to send their DNA samples in to these different DNA collection agencies because they're going to be used for research and nefarious purposes.
Right.
And now we're seeing it now. We're seeing it. And they have the technology to race-specific, nationality-specific, target your DNA. In other words, if your DNA says you're – 80% French or 80% Spanish or 80% German or 80% Jewish or 80% Russian, they can actually design a weapon, a bioweapon that will target those 80%ers and basically make their immune systems compromised to the point where they die. They're building hospitals in China right now, emergency building hospitals, which is actually pretty amazing. They can do this with 1,000 beds in them, and the beds are already being filled, and it's basically 1,000 people, 2,000 people in line in some of these cities in days to get in to see the doctors, to get into these hospitals. And a lot of these hospitals are turning into basically hospice centers. And according to Zero Hedge, the coronavirus contains HIV insertions. This is why I started with HIV. And it says this is stoking fears over an artificially created bioweapon. This is by Dr. Eric Fiegel-Ding. It says one researcher did a blast search, and he did find the insertions existing in other related viruses. Let's wait and see more for confirming. It says these short inserts do exist in the coronavirus, and now we're starting to see that the HIV apparently is in the coronavirus. You think, well, how in the heck did that get in there? Well, again, I'm going to go back to telling you a few things that I know about this. We've got to realize that, you know, we can insert things in the different viral loads using the CRISPR gene editing. Now, TIMEdics, and this is from the Daily Mail, are saying and claiming that the coronavirus breakthrough, that a patient is declared disease-free in 48 hours using the HIV and flu drugs. Now, this is the article right here out of Daily Mail. You guys can see it. And I just wanted to show it. And it's all these are posted on the healthmasters.com news site. And so now you have to ask yourself a question. And this, of course, is a patient. This is not saying that this is going to cure it, but this one person responded to this. But it's odd to me that it's responding to HIV treatment. And so we have to understand that if this is indeed a bioengineered weapon that's being used to come into the United States, the most important thing that a bioweapon can be to begin with is stealth. They don't want you to know about it. They want to make sure it has a long incubation period. and that you're continuing to shed virus the entire time that you're not showing symptoms so you can infect the largest percentage of population. Let me give you an example. With live measles vaccines and also with the polio vaccines, you know, people shed these viral loads. When people get an injection for these things, basically in their feces, they have the ability to transmit these different types of diseases to the general population. We've seen that with polio all over the world. And the problem with all of this is that this is the same thing the coronavirus is doing. So in other words, if a person is exposed to this, yet they're symptom free in their feces, and I'm going to talk a little biology here with you guys today, it has active coronavirus. Here's the problem with that. And I've told you guys dozens of times on this show that about 80% of the population doesn't generally wash their hands when they use the bathroom. So if they use the bathroom and they wipe their bottoms and they get poop on their hands, they don't wash their hands. Now, the 20% who do this, who have poop on their hands, they go to the sink, they push to turn the button on. Now there's poop on the sink that has the potential of having live coronavirus in it. Then they basically wash their hands, which they're being good, and they turn right back around. They turn the sink off. Now they've got the potential of having live coronavirus back on their hands. Same thing with towel dispensers. Same thing with toilet flushers. All of this stuff. That's why so many bathrooms now have gotten rid of doors, which is great, have automatic sinks, which is great, and basically have the ability to get in and out of there without touching anything. So important that we understand this. But we also need to realize that a lot of these hand things that people are putting their hands in are also contaminated with coronavirus. And it's almost impossible to put your hands in these hand blowers without your hand touching the side of the hand blower. So, you're going to get contaminated with coronavirus. Then if you touch your eyes, touch your nose, touch your face, you're going to spread it. Same thing as the flu. This is no different than the flu. So the most important thing is to wash your hands with clean water. That's the number one way of preventing any type of viral load or contamination. Number two is you have to keep your immune system strong. We talked about this last week on the show, and I'm going to talk about it again. Look at the Hagman immune system protocol. We have vitamin C on there, which helps to energize the entire immune system. We also have iodine. The iodine is stored in the pituitary gland, or excuse me, the thyroid, and the thyroid basically has iodine in it, and when something comes by via the bloodstream, it gets zapped with iodine, and nothing can survive iodine. It's not just used for radiation poisoning to prevent that. It's also used as part of an integral part of the immune system. You need between 12.5 and 25 milligrams of iodine every single day. The vast majority of products that have iodine basically have micrograms, not milligrams. So it's almost impossible to get the necessary amount. Thirdly, you need vitamin D3, which activates the macrophages, the white blood cells. If you don't have sufficient D3, in your bloodstream, I talked about this last Monday, I'll mention it again, they're like an on switch, like a little module that tacks into the, there's two sugar molecules that hang on the bottom of macrophages. Right. And these two sugar molecules are basically inserts where the vitamin D3 goes in. It connects to them chemically. And when it does that, it activates the macrophages and it tells them to start activating the immune system to eat these, basically these viral loads in the body. If the macrophage does not have D3, it can't turn on. Period. It won't work. It just looks at the viral load and goes, oh no, I don't know what to do. So it releases a cytokine, which is a chemical messenger. It's like shooting up a flare gun. And what happens, it says, I need other macrophages that have sufficient amounts of vitamin D to come here and eat this viral load. If you don't do this, this organism, this human being that I'm living in is probably going to die. And so the cytokines are very, very potent SOS calls. And then what happens is if the other macrophages show up, and they don't have any D3 either, they shoot the cytokines off. And the cytokines cause inflammation because they're trying to isolate a joint or trying to isolate this stuff, this intrusion, and starts inflaming the entire body. They also cause the lungs to fill with fluid if you have a cytokine storm. The vast majority of the people are not dying who are dying from the coronavirus. They're dying from pneumonia because their lungs are filling with fluid. This is exactly what happened in the 1919-1920 epidemic of the flu vaccine, the Spanish flu, the swine flu that hit Europe and went throughout the entire planet, killing some people, up to 60 million people died. It wasn't because the majority of them died from the flu. They died from their lungs filling with fluid from pneumonia. This is what vitamin D, C, iodine, all of these different antioxidants help prevent. So it's so important. Now, we've had a hard time keeping this stuff in inventory. Doug alluded to that. because our suppliers simply weren't ready for the onslaught of people ordering stuff from them and our manufacturers as far as having the raw materials available. So we have several other people now that we're working with, and we had to do this within a week in order to bring us enough product in order to get them out to you. So if you have not yet received your product, pretty much all of the product from last week is being shipped this week within a couple of days. Most of it's going out today. So be patient with us. We're doing the absolute best we can considering this absolute mess that we've gotten ourselves into with biological weapons. So it's very, very important
Let me ask you a question about this. I've gotten a couple of emails about this specific protocol. This is good. This is okay. You can take it every day. You're healthy. You can take this every day, right?
Now, if you get the protocol that it contains the astragalus, if we have that in inventory, because we ran out of that too, we had to pull that out, we put it back on, it may be on, maybe back in now or not. If you get the protocol with the astragalus, just take a couple of those a day for the next couple of weeks. That's okay. But if you are over the age of 50, or if you're having any prostate issues, make sure you take the prostate support along with the astragalus. That's number one. Number two, make sure you do not take astragalus if you're running a temperature or a fever. Do not do that. It's before that. That's when this product works, is before that happens. Now, the black seed oil, you can take it every day. I take it on a regular basis. You know, the prophet Muhammad, which basically they say he was a prophet. I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Christian, as you guys all know. But he said that the black seed oil was a cure for everything but death. I have seen it work amazingly as far as fixing things in human beings. And so I'm not making any claims as far as what it'll cure, what it won't cure. But what I am saying is the black seed oil is an incredible product, and I take it on a regular basis. That's why those products are in the immune kit protocol. If you just want to get the basics, the D3, the K2, the iodine, and the C, that's a great start, and it's a lot less money than the protocol. The other thing you need to do is you need to be swabbing your nose out or using some type of silver nasal spray every single day.
Yep.
We've got the 500 parts per million, which is very strong. It's like an amber color silver. And what I do is about twice, well, more than that, probably about four times a day now, especially whenever before I go into public and when I come home, I'll take a Q-tip, put it in the bottle, and I swab my nose out, both sides. And basically making sure that if anything's in there, that colloidal silver will kill it before it gets absorbed. I do this all of the time. I mean, all the time. And pretty much I stay healthy all the time. Now, other family members have decided that that's not something they want to do, and they're constantly catching colds. And I just say to them, I laugh. I say, well, whatever. You do what you do. I do what I do. We'll be good. But the reality is, you know, it's just another precaution, just another step. But the first step I mentioned is washing those hands every single day. That is the single most important thing you can do. Now, the Vatican, this is the craziest story. My youngest son, Harrison, just sent this to me, and I just found it kind of odd. The Vatican now has sent medical masks to China. The Vatican is sending hundreds of thousands of Vatican Catholic masks to China in an attempt to stall the spread of the coronavirus. Now, I find it odd, number one, that the Vatican has hundreds of thousands of medical masks that they're willing to give to the folks in China, number one. And I have to realize, too, also that the Chinese government is basically begging the rest of the planet to send them as many medical masks as they can to try to help their population to cover up. My friend in China, like I mentioned earlier, he's basically having to cover himself up, wear goggles, masks, everything when he leaves. In fact, he sent me a picture the other day. I tried to order it for him. I couldn't get it, of a double can respirator, big mask with a glass face with double cans on it that's capable of getting rid of viral loads and filtering them. That's how concerned he is about trying to get out of China. He's desperate right now because he doesn't know what to do. Restaurants are closed. Grocery stores are open part-time. Nobody's on the street still. He said, like I mentioned earlier, this is like the Omega Man with Charlton Heston, an apocalyptic bioterrorist, you know, after the war, after the bioterrorist look in China right now. And we see that from the videos that are coming out of China, along with the dead bodies on the streets and the dead bodies being carried to the different places. Now, in addition to that, another report that was issued by Zero Hedge says that a lot of the Chinese hospitals are taking their people that are dying from the coronavirus directly to the crematories without keeping a record of them. That way that they don't count into the official statistics of how many people have died. Now, the other thing we need to realize, too, is that, you know, we still have thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, some say, that are still hospitalized in China, with a few hundred that have been released, the rest of them still suffering. That's why I said earlier, are they turning into basically hospice centers? I don't know. But again, this has not hit the mainland USA in an exponential growth fashion. It hasn't done that. So I don't want it to. We've got to do the best we possibly can to keep our hands washed and avoid public areas right now. Yesterday, I went to church, and I had a dear friend of mine that I had not heard speak in about 14 years, who's a great pastor, who basically is on statin drugs, had 3 stents put in since I saw him last, and his memory has gone to pieces. He can't remember anything, but he's a great guy, good friend of mine. And so we're at the church, and he's speaking, does a great job, even with his limited memory capacity now from the statin drugs. And all of a sudden, some guy's walking around the church, sick as a dog, wearing a medical mask, coughing, hacking, spewing, eyes running. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Why would you come to church like this? And he says, well, I'm sure he did. So I'm thinking, I didn't talk to him. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. This guy's walking all around the church, just basically breathing out all of this stuff. Guys, if you're sick, if you've got the flu, if you've got the cold, if you've got any of this stuff, if your children are sick, don't bring sick children to the nursery at church. Don't you go to church if you're sick. Guys, it frustrates the yin-yang out of me when I walk into a church and I sit down and somebody behind me starts coughing up a lung or sounds like they're coughing up a lung because they're so sick. Every time that happens, I immediately stand up and go move and go somewhere else. Why are they there? Why is it so important? Watch it online. If you're really sick, call your pastor, have one of the sub-pastors come from the church, one of the associate pastors, and have them come and pray for you at home. You don't need to go into a situation when you should be quarantined into a public arena like that. That's like, quite frankly, I would have never gone to the Super Bowl yesterday as far as being in that large of a group of people just because of the sheer viral loads that are present at any Super Bowl. And plus also, I'm going to say something, and I'm like you are, Doug. I stopped watching the Super Bowl many years ago because, number one, the NFL is not even classified as a sport. It's classified and registered as entertainment. You can't believe anything you see on the NFL fields. It's all based upon revenue generation. That's what it's based on. That's why you see some calls that are blatantly obvious. They don't get called. Other calls that weren't obvious, that really didn't happen, get called. And the games, in my opinion, are skewed. I had a friend of mine who his name is Van, and he used to play for the NFL. And after he got out of the NFL, he was asked to be a bookie. One of the top guys who tried to recruit him to be a bookie. He was a former player in the NFL, played for the Cleveland Browns. And he basically told me, he says, Ted, every single NFL game is rigged. He told me this. They told him that. Yeah. So why do you want to watch this mess? And then you get to watch this sex show on the Illuminati, the people who took down Building 7 at halftime. That's, remember, the guys who took down Building 7, you can call them the Illuminati. You can call them the Sabbatina Kabbalists. You can call them the Luciferians. You pick a name. It doesn't make a difference. It's all the same guys. But it's just easier to say the guys who took down Building 7. Those guys pretty much run the planet. In fact, if there's several books you can read, and I've mentioned these before, Pawns of the Game by William Guy Carr. Also, the second book by William Guy Carr, Satan or Lucifer, the prince of this planet, the ruler of this planet. And then there's another book by Topper Saucy called Rulers of Evil. And another book by Monty is called the Brotherhood of Evil. Read those books and you'll understand this planet's being run by an ancient Canaanite religious sect of Luciferians. Back then they called it Baal and Asher and Moloch, and now they worship the goat and all this crazy nonsense. They like this, they have this thing, they have this snake in a tree they worship. I mean, they're all a bunch of weirdos, but they run the planet because these guys were willing by hook or crook, starting in Genesis, by the way, starting in the Garden of Eden, to do whatever they had to do, including Cain killing Abel. They'll do anything they have to do in order to further their agenda. This has been going on since the beginning. We're not going to change this. We need to realize that that's why God sent Christ to us to basically be a scapegoat for us to get out of the mess that we're in, that we caused, to allow us to become one with Christ and become a Christian and go to heaven with God. We got to understand the whole plan of God and how that worked with Christ and who he is. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you set up a blood covenant with God Almighty through Christ, which allows you to go boldly into the throne of grace, into the Holy of Holies, and petition directly to God through Christ. It's very important that we understand that that's who we are in Jesus. And guys, even more so today as we see pandemics, and all of these crazy things that are happening all over the world, getting worse, not better, because the entire planet's being run by psychopaths. That's just the fact. These Canaanite religious nuts. And if we understand that they're the guys that are running the world, running the show, it makes more sense. Let me give you an example. You know, I told everybody 3 months ago that basically it was going to be a high probability, because the votes weren't possible to get Trump impeached, that this was going to go nowhere. And, of course, the impeachment process has pretty much died with a whimper with no witnesses being called. And we understand that. But the Democrats have already said that they can impeach Trump as many times as they want. In other words, they could do it again.
It's crazy.
They could do it again. They could do it again next week. They could vote again in articles. They could do the whole thing over next week and start the whole process over again, and we'll have more circus and shows. Bernie Sanders should win the Democratic national vote as far as being the candidate. They're now doing everything they can to try to change procedure to try to keep him from getting it again, like they did with Hillary Clinton, stole it from him last time in 2016. And it's all a clown show. And it's like Otto Kahn said back in the early 20s. You know, he was one of the founding members with his group, his bank, of the Federal Reserve Bank. He said the international banking community, they hold the earth by its axis. I've told you guys this 100 times on the show. And they turn it any which way they want. They promote capitalism. They can promote communism. But that what they want is a one-world government. That's the goal. That was the goal of the League of Nations back in the 1920 when it was originally formed and went basically kaput. And it's the goal of the United Nations. It's all being run through the international banking cartels. And that's why so many people are coming up with cryptocurrency now, and all the other different groups out of Switzerland are developing their own cryptocurrencies, because it's going to be easier to control the masses when they have to take the mark of the beast, or they can't buy or sell. This is where it's headed. So this is the group that runs the show. So when we have the Illuminati.
I'm going to push you back.
The Illuminati halftime ceremony.
Exactly. But let me push you back to the virus for a second here, because, okay, a couple of things. I just want to make sure that people understand. I've been getting reports, like you mentioned about your friend in China. I've been getting reports that cremations are taking place. Did you get any information about that? I mean, government.
Yes,
cremations?
I mentioned that earlier, that they're basically going directly from the hospitals, and they're going to crematoriums, and they're basically being incinerated without records being kept as far as how many people are being incinerated. It's like the hospitals again have turned into a hospice centers, and then the mortuaries are basically turning into these giant crematoriums. And people aren't even being kept record of how many people are dying.
Okay. Let me give you a couple of numbers. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure about the numbers, because I didn't know. I mean, I heard you mention that, but the numbers I'm getting, it's what they're saying is there are no numbers coming out officially and unofficially, like you said. But from what I'm looking at here, it's in my mind, it almost should be visible by satellite. That's how big it is.
Well, here's another one. Far from the coronavirus epicenter, China puts another city under lockdown. Struggling to contain the virus, authorities have virtually shut down the eastern city of Wenzhou on Sunday. 500 miles from Wuhan, China posed a lockdown Sunday on a major city 500 miles away from the epicenter, as the death toll is now over 400. Other countries are now also reporting fatalities. And so struggling to contain the virus, authorities have virtually shut down the eastern city of Wenzhou on Sunday. Since emerging out of Wuhan late last year, the coronavirus affected nearly 14,500 people across China and has reached 24 countries. So it's spreading pretty quickly. Now, what's interesting about this, Doug, let me give some more statistics and a few more stories on this, is that we need to understand that a lot of people who are getting this are not recovering. They're staying in the hospitals and they're not coming out of the hospitals. And this is something that's very, very troubling to me, because this is something that China's not really reporting on. They're telling us, well, you know, only over 300 people have died, but they're not talking about how many people have been cured. The Hubei province has confirmed cases up to 11,177. Deaths are now 350, and only 295 of the 11,177 people have been cured and have been discharged from hospitals. That's all. In other words, around 300 people have died out of the 11,000, and only about 300 people out of the 11,000 have been cured. So what the heck is this mess? You know, you would think that this thing would run its case over 2 or 3 days, but it's not doing that. And so we basically realize that, you know, and here's another one. This is another article. It says the bio-war Kuwata inserted HIV force multipliers inside the Wuhan virus. And so this is an interesting thing when we start looking at it. But again, I'm going to say all of this stuff, and I'm going to be very careful. These are the opinions of a lot of people out there that are top bio-level scientists. Now, personally,
I had 500 hours in the biochemical genetics lab at Florida State University when I took the biochemical genetics class. I spent 400 hours in the lab alone. That's why I know so much about all these different surfaces, because I personally tested these surfaces when I was in that laboratory at Florida State. We used a Petri dish with agar in it, which is like a protein sugar product, and we went around and took distilled water, dipped it in a Q-tip, and wiped all these surfaces down, and then wiped it on the agar and sealed it and put it basically into a little heater to keep it, make it grow. And every single surface that we tested had fecal coliform or poop on it. Every surface. That's why, since I took that silly class, Doug, some 40 years ago, I don't even like touching elevator buttons because I swab them and they've got poop on them. Elevator buttons are one of the worst. Stairwells are one of the worst.
Cell phones.
I used to get so, cell phones. Oh, yeah. Well, especially if you hand it to other people. And plus, if you're not cleaning your cell phone on a regular basis, right. If you've got stuff on your hands and you wash your hands, it goes right back on your hands again. iPads too. Yep. So, all of this stuff is a major problem as far as cross-contamination. But let me give you some more of these statistics first here. California couple bring confirmed U.S. coronavirus cases to 11 after husband infects his wife, as two more people in New York are tested for virus, and four nationals who've been in China within 14 days are banned from entering the United States. Another article. Can any mask really protect you from the coronavirus, as people in China resort to using grapefruits as a mask? They cut them in half and pull the skins and put them under their face. Experts say some masks are worse than useless, and the best defense is washing your hands, which I've talked about dozens of times. British coronavirus evacuee is taken ill on the way to quarantine. Passenger on the last flight out of Wuhan is being tested for the deadly disease as the death toll approaches 400. China says, this is crazy, urgently needs medical masks to tackle the virus. Well, a few hundred thousand masks from the Vatican aren't going to help much when you have over a billion people in the population. So all of these things are just absolutely – here's another one. Coronavirus, this is the article that I quoted a minute ago, lurking in feces may reveal hidden risks of spread. Communities in China, another article, to get rid of their pets or ordered to get rid of their pets or risk having them culled among fears that animals could catch the coronavirus. Now – one village in Hebei urged households to deal with their pets within 5 days. We're talking killing the pets.
Yeah, that ain't happening here, brother. But go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I know it's not, Doug. But the thing is, you got to remember, this is a communist country.
Yep.
They're not going to care if they come in and shoot your pets.
And the fact that this is a communist country is a real big red flag for me, because, I mean, there's a lot – you know, Ted, there's a lot wrong with what we're talking about in terms of – the origin of this, in terms of the handling of this, in terms of the information coming out. You've got, and by the way, 10,348 flights were canceled yesterday alone, according to China Flight Tracker. So go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no, that's okay, Doug. This is one of those things that, you know, I'd rather talk to you guys about the Bible. I'd rather say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I commit my plans unto the Lord, and therefore they shall exceed. You know, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. I'd rather talk about Bible. I'd rather talk about the blood of Jesus. I'd rather talk about anything but this. This is horrible. This is some really negative stuff. But remember, guys, even if 83% of the people who are exposed to this virus basically get the virus, that means 17% aren't getting it. That means they're getting exposed to it and they're not getting sick at all. And the only reason that is the same thing with the bubonic death, the black death, the plague that happened, you know, 500, 600 years ago. The only reason that happens is certain people have stronger immune systems. Now I got to stop for 1 second here. Since we're talking about the black death, one of the first big persecutions in Europe that occurred against the Jewish people happened during the black death. And the reason for it is the Jews weren't dying from the plague in the amounts that were being killed from the general population. And the general population got mad at the Jews. Everybody wants to blame everything on the Jews. The general population got mad at the Jews and said that they had poisoned the water or poisoned the wells or had cursed the population of Christians. And this big persecution occurred. Here's the problem. The average diet there in Europe in the Middle Ages was lard, L-A-R-D, pie, or pork fat pie. It was a primary source of calories and nutrients for the general population, for the peasants. They just ate pig like crazy. Pig lowers the immune system. So, guys, don't eat pork. The Bible says not to eat pork. The Jews weren't eating pork. That's why they weren't dying. They weren't poisoning wells. They weren't dying because they weren't eating the pork. And so this is the important thing that we need to understand, is that our diet, you got to get away from sugar. You got to get away from pork. You got to basically avoid alcohol. Avoid my top 10 foods never to eat. I mean, just avoid it. Just avoid things that you know that are toxic for your body that you need to not put into your system. Do everything that you can to strengthen your immune system and not hurt it. Take your D3, K2 every day. Take your astragalus, you know, one or two a day. If you've got prostate issues, take prostate support with it. You should be on that anyhow. Take 4,000 to 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C every single day. Take 12 to 25 milligrams of iodine. And what I'm going to believe for you, because I pray for you guys every day, I'm going to believe that you're going to stay healthy. I'm going to believe that this thing won't touch you. Though 10,000 fall on my one side and 10,000 on my other side, you're going to be fine. That's what I'm going to believe for you. I'm going to believe that you're going to walk right through this and skate through it. Don't allow yourself to be overcome with this, because you don't have a spirit of fear, but a power to love and a sound mind, because you're in with Christ Jesus. You're in covenant with the Most High God. But guys, how do you know? I'm not saying this is true, but how do you know that you didn't tune into the Hagman Show today to learn about the immune system, which I hope you did, in order to save your life? How do you know that? See, if we believe that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, that we've got to believe that the things that we do are being directed by God. That's how I look at my whole life. That's why I always say, God, your will be done in my life. I speak, my footsteps are ordered by the Lord. I commit my plans to the Lord, therefore they will succeed. That's how I pray. I've taught you guys to pray like that. You pray in positive affirmation with the scripture. I don't know how to be any more specific than that, because if you pray the word of God back to God, his answers are always yes and amen. And so we have to understand, guys, he's going to do what you ask. Thank you, Father, for protecting me from this. Yes and amen. Thank you, Father, that you're going to direct my paths. But does that mean that he directed your paths to get on vitamin C, D3, K2, iodine right now? And by the way, the best form of iodine is the nation iodine. And so don't be doing micrograms. You have to do milligrams. Now, here's another one. CNN. You got to love this communist news network. CNN is angry that too many white people are trying to stop the coronavirus from spreading. According to CNN, the real concern about the coronavirus is not the potential for global pandemic. It's the fact that there are too many white people trying to stop it. I mean, this is absolutely insane. This comes back from the communists again. This is from Zero Hedge, and he quoted this. And guys, you know, here's the deal. I don't care if you know how to cure the coronavirus. I don't care if you're purple, pink, black, brown, blue, green, or whatever. Who cares what you are? You know, get the information out there and tell people how to fix it. It doesn't matter if you're white. I mean, why does it always have to be white people? Why does it always have to be we hate white people? Well, the reason for that, since I asked that question, I'm going to go ahead and answer it for you. I know the answer is that primarily the Protestants from Europe are white. They're the ones that have been holding Christianity together through the Catholic Church for 2,000 years. 500 years ago, of course, we had the Protestant Reformation. And so the white people were the ones who primarily held Christianity together and basically had it go throughout the world. Therefore, they hate white people because they don't want Christianity as the primary religion. They want Satanism as the primary religion. This is what the communists have always wanted. I mean, Lenin, Stalin, all of them. You know, Freud's cousin Bernays, they were all Sabbatean Kabbalists. They were Luciferians. They were just weirdos. And they believed, look at all this crazy stuff with Aleister Crowley and what he did and all the sacrifices he did and all the weird sex rituals he performed. And look at the Super Bowl, trafficking thousands of boys and girls as potential sex slaves and prostitutes at the Super Bowl. And it's not just a Super Bowl, it's at every major city all of the time. All of this stuff is steeped from these ancient Canaanite religions. So we need to understand who they are and why they hate the white people so much. Here's another one. Coronavirus claims the first life outside of China as Wuhan enforces a quarantine for all suspected areas. This, and you go to our website, you're going to see this. Go to healthmasters.com, go to the news section, and just start looking through all of this stuff. Because, guys, it's not getting better. It's getting much, much worse. Much worse. Airline removes gas mask wearing passenger after he panics the traveler. So a guy comes in with a respirator mask, basically walking in like he's basically in a hazmat area, which he probably was. And then they remove him from the airplane because he's scaring everybody. Well, he's trying to let everybody know something's going on. Seventh American with coronavirus confirmed as the White House declared the global outbreak, a public health emergency in the U.S. is closing its border to visitors from China as the illness spreads to more than 13,000 people worldwide. In addition to that, we've got to see what's happening with all of the other stuff around the country, about how China is basically stopping this, doing that, and now the World Health Organization has finally declared an international health emergency, and America's another one. U.S. denies entry to foreign national who has visited China, and basically American Airlines is suspending all flights to China. Like you mentioned earlier, Doug, thousands of flights suspended yesterday. Guys, if you look at the numbers and you look at the media and the stuff they're not telling you, I've got major reporting bureaus, Doug, that I get a lot of my information from that have gone silent on this. They don't talk about it anymore. There's no articles being posted. And you're like, well, did it just go away last night? No. Because remember, the international bankers control 95% of the media in the United States. These, by the way, are the same group that go bump in the night. This is the weirdos, the subgroup that we're talking about. And they control the media. They control Reuters. They control the AP Wire. And quite frankly, they tell the agencies and they tell their news agencies what the stories are they should be covering. So when you see a massive story being pushed by that Greta girl out of Europe, who's a little weirdo, you see her being pushed and being promoted to the top. It's because they've been told to push that. Yep. They've been told to tell you how important she is. That's why, and I've said this on your show dozens of times, Doug, when we have alternative news people that come from nowhere, I mean, suddenly you have zero views, no one's ever heard of you, and now you're getting millions of views like in like the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Somebody is pushing the buttons and search engines to have you get promoted. And I'm going to say something very clearly. I had Karen talk to me about this the other day, and I have talked to my listeners all the time via telephone and text. You know, there's certain things that if your alternative news station is not talking to you about, like today we're talking about this, and we're talking about the international banking cartels, and we've talked multiple times about the amount of poison as far as the drugs coming out of China, how so much of the drugs are coming out of Afghanistan, how China has sent us fentanyl that has killed tens of thousands of people here in the United States. And, you know, when we have all the drugs being smuggled in via the CIA, via Afghanistan, we talk about Operation Gladio, Operation Condor, all of these different things that I've talked about on this show so many times. If the station that you're listening to is not discussing this, or even the rebuilding of the Third Temple and basically bringing the Antichrist out and all these other weird things that so many people want to have, like the beginning of the Book of Revelation and all the stuff they're trying to precipitate, if they're not discussing this stuff in detail, who's involved in it, why it's happening, you need to really evaluate the source. Because, guys, so many people out there in alt news, and Doug will tell you this, I'm not going to mention any names, they've been compromised. 80% overall, my opinion, these are my numbers that I've looked at over the years, of overall alternative news. This means shows that have zero views to shows that are huge like Hannity. 80% of these shows in general are being co-opted or compromised in some way, either through self-censorship or just direct censorship. And when you get to the high levels of people that have these monstrous talk shows, they don't mention the things I just talked about. Mm-hmm. So I would say 95% of these huge shows don't ever mention any of this stuff. Why? Because they're being controlled through syndication, through the media, through Reuters, through AP Wire. Guys, 95% of the media is controlled by like seven companies that are all controlled through international, basically through stock purchases and basically directorships, interlocking corporate directorships via like seven companies. And they're all international banking cartels and investment houses. This is who runs the planet. And if we don't see this, we're deceiving ourselves, because it's simply one of those things that's not going to go away. It's not going to change until we get rid of the Federal Reserve System in the United States and we go back to honest money like Ron Paul talked about so many times, and we get rid of these clowns that are basically putting, what they put in, $6 trillion, $8 trillion, $10 trillion into the repo market in the last 2 months. The economies on the whole world may be using this, these international bankers, this virus release, to collapse the economies in all of these worlds in a controlled implosion in order to basically get themselves off the hook because of all the fiat money they've produced and to bring out a new world order with a new world currency. I don't know, but they're going to do something like this, because I've told you guys dozens of times on this show and on my show They're not going to use nukes. They're not going to use a tidal wave. They're not going to use a meteorite. They're not going to use aliens. The aliens are already here. They're fallen angels and a bunch of other weird things that go bump in the night. They're not going to use any of this stuff to destroy the planet. They're going to use bioweapons because the bioweapons don't destroy the infrastructure. They spent too much money to create a 5G system now that they're implementing that's going to allow us to be tagged with nanocrystals to allow us to become a read-write unit so they know what everybody's doing all of the time that will allow us to be tied into a D-Wave computer that's going to have an interdimensional interface to Lucifer himself so that he can become omnipresent on this planet. That's what they want. So they can create Genesis chapter 6 all over again so that every thought of every man will be evil. Look at that filth on the halftime show last night and how many people sat through it and let their children watch it.
Yeah.
Every thought evil all of the time. And guys, this is the key that they're doing right now. Cause it says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, that's Genesis chapter 6, so shall it be upon my return. We need to understand that this is what they're trying to implement is a worldwide satanic religion based on all of these weird things that they've believed for thousands and thousands of years because they consider themselves to be the Benindi Nephilim, the sons of the fall and the guys that run the planet. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right. You look at the broader approach here. Look at the broader picture. And this is what, look, I like to look at, things in context in the broader picture. So yes, what we're seeing, I think what we're seeing is really part of an end plan taking place here. It might not be the end plan. Please, folks, don't take me out of context. But it's a step toward that. Because I do believe, look, first of all, you mentioned one thing you mentioned was about the economy. I will say that the oil, has fallen, OPEC, because of the lack of decreased demand stemming from China. Okay, so that's fallen. Look at what the emerging markets. Oh my goodness, a lot of the securities were embedded with Chinese banks and funds and stuff. So those are down. So you're looking at some pretty significant impacts on the economy. And when you look at I know I'm kind of going off a little bit here on different subjects, but when you look at the structure of this specific virus, look, I believe, like some scientists believe right now, and they're speculating that the government of communist China was using the Wuhan lab to devise a biowarfare pathogen. And I think that
I agree.
So if that's the case, was this released intentionally or was it a whoopsie? You know, remember the test subjects, Chinese test subjects, remember they've got a history of experimentation. Go back to the Korean War POWs, for example, of drugs. So.
And the Japanese.
Yeah, and the Japanese. And you know, you mentioned Zero Hedge. Look at how quickly Twitter dispensed with their, dispensed with Zero Hedge. And, I'd be looking at that article again from Zero Hedge. That's just my take on things. So yes, continue.
Well, let me say something else. You know, everybody should have vitamin C at home anyhow.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Everybody should have potassium iodide at home.
Sure.
Everybody should have D3, K2 at home. Because remember, you need to take K2 in high doses with D3 because it prevents arterial calcification. And also, the D3 that you take should be from a sheep's lanolin, sheep's wool product, not synthetic. And so you got to make sure you get high quality products. So if I ask you and I say, please order these products before we run out, we can't get them to you. We're not asking you to buy weird stuff that you don't need to take anyhow. So if you get just those three products and you keep them on your shelf for 2 or 3 years, just their shelf life, it's just really cheap insurance. And quite frankly, vitamin C, you guys should be taking that every single day. Linus Pauling won multiple Nobel Prizes, and one of his Nobel Prizes was his work on vitamin C. And he basically lived to be in his 90s and continued to function taking, 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C every single day, stayed super healthy, while all of the people who laughed at him 30 years later were dead, or 30 years earlier were dead. They all died. He was still going along strong with his vitamin C.
Can't hurt you.
This is not something that you're going to order that you're not going to use. This isn't something that's going to be getting dust on your shelf 10 years from now. And you say, why did I get vitamin C? You're going to go through the product. You should be taking this product every day anyhow, much less in the middle of this. And here's the problem. I'm having a really hard time keeping this stuff in stock. I'm having to go through multiple suppliers, multiple formulations in order to get this stuff to you guys. So you may try to order it in a week or tomorrow or the next day or 2 weeks, and I'm going to say, I can't get it. And this is what's going to happen. We're going to have massive back orders, and it's not just going to be Health Masters. It's going to be everybody because people are going to realize, oh, my gosh, I should have ordered this. So just order it now. I mean, what is it? I think it's less than 100 bucks for those three products. I mean, you got to get something in your family's basically cabinet that's going to protect everybody and start taking this stuff on a regular basis. And let's say this stuff runs its course in a couple of months and nothing happens. That's why I'm only giving it a 4 to 5 on the bioterror worrying scale that I developed out of 1 to 10.
Right now, I got to admit to the people watching this, you gave it a 5 to 6 yesterday. So you're giving it a 4 to 5. So it's just a slight bump downward. But I'm still kind of, you know what, Ted, I'm still kind of at a 5 to 6 based on your scale, only because of the conversations I had with the virologist, the infectious disease doctor, and the medical doctor. I'm just saying. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, and the reason I dropped it a little bit from yesterday is because of the lack of information coming out of China, Doug.
Okay.
Because we can't get that, because when I've got major news carriers stopping it and not letting us have any more information on it, I can't continue to reevaluate it upwards because I'm like, I don't have the data. But, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 is a pretty doggone good estimate of where this is right now.
I think so.
That doesn't mean it's a panic thing. It's not. Just get prepared for your family. That's why, you know, basically – you know, storable food sales have gone through the roof. We sold out of storable food at Health Masters within 6 hours after, you know, this thing started last week. It was gone. We're trying to get some more supplies because it's gone. Well, they all sold. Everybody sold out. Same thing's going to happen with the vitamin C and the D3. Here's the biggest problem that you have. Most people don't understand the importance of the components of the D3, K2, and the iodine in the immune system. And they're just telling you to stock up on vitamin C. And vitamin C is important. It is. If you want an immune system that's like supercharged, you've got to have the iodine and you've got to have the D3 and the K2. And so then if it looks at a pathogen, it kind of goes, I can handle that. I'm not going to create a cytokine storm. I'm not going to fill my lungs with fluid. It's going to send the mitochondria to go in there, not the mitochondria, the macrophages to go in there and take care of this. Guys, it's so important to have this stuff in your cabinets all the time, regardless of what's going on with this crazy virus, Doug.
I got to tell you, since I began taking that immune system package, I can't remember where I haven't had a cold in forever. I mean, since I've been taking that whole package. So, you know, it look, folks, it does something. All right. All right. So, okay. By the way, yeah, that noise you heard was my pen cap falling on the floor. all right. Have you read the paper published in, there's a journal. It's BioRxiv.org journal. Have you read anything from that?
What was the title on it, Doug?
This had to do with the key structural proteins of the HIV virus and the, you know, what's inside there, the blocks of this virus. So I don't know.
I read it. I mean, the problem is that, you know, they always leave trails, don't they, with everything they do. So
yeah.
Guys, thank you for having me on, Doug, today. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I prayed for you this morning. It was my privilege to do so.
Okay.
Just get prepped.
You know, this hour went very quickly. I got to tell you, we're going to be promoting your immune system protocol throughout the show. So thank you, Tim.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Folks, going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report. By the way, websites, HagmanReportLive.com, that's where you can find the video, the audio, HagmanReport.com for various articles. There's a tool on there. Use it to, you can use it to track the coronavirus spread if you believe it's accurate. I just put it up there. It's really from Johns Hopkins University, and it's an interactive map. It's at HagmanReport.com and some other articles and little bits of information. So I please do that, HagmanReport.com. Now, before we get to the next guest, our next guest, John Moore, and you know, so many things have happened between last Monday and this Monday. It's just, wow. I want to tell you, or I want to talk to you about your high interest credit cards. I had this conversation with my wife over the weekend, and this was about actually a friend of ours. It's a long story, but the bottom line was, how, you know, the Christmas sometimes decimates your pocketbook. And I got to tell you something. It's now we're post Super Bowl into February. People are getting bills sometimes. Oh my goodness. The high interest credit card rates. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Is it too much? I thought so. Then why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate? Start saving money right now. Folks, it's easy. It is so easy with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Oh, you're going to thank me about this because rates are as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. It's much lower than the national average interest rate in credit cards. They're over 20%. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. You know, LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And here's what we worked out with. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you, you want to hear a testimonial? There was one, listen to this. I heard about LightStream through a radio program advertisement. I am so glad I had the courage to reach out and try their service. Top-notch customer support and service, very streamlined process, and no issues or regrets. Isn't that something? That should tell you something. Here's what LightStream has worked out with the Hagman Report. Just for you, my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Now, it's so important I want to spell this out for you. Literally, LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. Truly a great company to work with. And seriously, why not? If it makes sense, it does. And the interest rate, I got to tell you, the interest rate, when you look at your cards, my goodness. All right. Now, again, I mentioned that between last Monday and today, so much has changed, and especially with the coronavirus. It's interesting because 2 days ago, as I was talking with Ted earlier, there was a paper published in this medical or this BioRx IV journal that presented findings that indicated that the coronavirus, now hang on, appeared to be engineered with key structural proteins of HIV. The title of the paper, and you've heard this, I believe you already heard this. I think Alex was talking about this and others as well. Uncanny similarity of unique inserts in the 2019-nCoV, standing for novel coronavirus, spike protein 2 HIV-1, GP120, and GAG. Now, Ted had mentioned this earlier. They conclude that the engineering of the coronavirus was such a gene sequence was unlikely to be, just serendipitous. No, it had to be planned. This provides strong scientific support for the theory that the coronavirus is an engineered bioweapon that escaped laboratory containment in China. The question is, was it done with intent, or was it, as I asked before, was it oops? And then you've seen the denial. So, this is not something that we need to panic over. Panic doesn't do anyone any good. This is not something we need to, we have to just be aware of this. And Ted was right about, looking at this through the larger lens. And of course, we know, fear, we're not to be, held subjugated to a spirit of fear. And then certainly I'm not, I would not, suggest that. Okay. But when you look at this, would I be concerned? Yeah, I would be concerned. And my concern levels is still at a 5 or 6. I'm going to ask John what his out of a 10 would be, compared to last week. But, one other thing that I find very strange about this, when I referenced the paper, there has been a slight change in their findings. The paper was revised just a tad, in terms of their conclusions. So I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, is this a result of additional research that their conclusions were they backed off their conclusions that the structure was engineered? And, I don't think so. So I'm looking at this and saying, this might even be anecdotal evidence to support the fact that this is an engineered virus. So having said all of that, thank you for waiting. John, how you doing?
I'm good. How's my audio?
That's the first thing you asked. Well, your video looks good, John. You look good, and your audio is little kick in, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, I got a new camera. I just plugged it in 5 minutes ago. A little closer than it should be, but I can't change it now.
Now look how dapper you look, man. How you doing? I mean, you look good. Let's start off wherever you want to start off. I was talking about the coronavirus, and I don't know what your thoughts are, man. It's wow.
Well, again, with that, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would put my level of for myself. First of all, it's the flu.
Yes.
Not the two carrier. It's the flu. Here's who's at risk: people over age 80. Children under age 5, and people in between who have a compromised immune system, which of course is tens of millions of Americans on one hand. On the other, if you're a healthy individual between 5 and 70, between 5 and 80, the odds of dying from this are pretty slim, assuming you've got access to modern health care. So what I've done personally, I've made sure my daughter has some masks and proper sanitation things, some unscented bleach on hand. I've sent her some vitamin and mineral supplements from our friend Ted Brower that she should be taking anyway, her and her children.
Amen.
Everybody should have a healthy, strong immune system. So I've taken those precautions. My son-in-law is very helpful with preparedness. And other than that, we're going about our normal lives. And I'm going about my normal life, and I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary. I've made these precautions. They're in place, and we're ready to go. I'm going on a Caribbean cruise here. I'll be leaving this coming Sunday, what is that, the 9th, and be back a week later, the 15th, I guess it is.
Yes, so, and this is the cruise that we spoke about, and I hope that people that are listening to this go.
You're signed up. We'll be organizing the 2021 cruises beginning in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
That'll be a lot of also a Caribbean and Alaskan cruise. In fact, I got a nice note from the people that run the cruises about the extra cautions they're taking. If you've been to China, you're not getting on that cruise boat. It's simply not going to happen. You've been to China the last 2 or 3 weeks. So reasonable precautions. I was hoping the government would have shut down a commercial airline between here and China sooner than they did. They waited until Saturday to implement those protocols. I don't know why they waited that long, but they did. So it's on a scale of 1 to 10, Doug, 10 being the highest, I'm rating it as a 2 right now.
All right.
Now, if somebody I cared about had a severely compromised, let's take a good example. If you're taking chemotherapy, that wipes out your immune system. It does. And you catching any flu, it doesn't matter if it's coronavirus flu or not, catching any flu is something that could kill you. That's just a fact of life. It's an unfortunate fact of life. And there's many other people who take various pharmaceutical products that harm their immune system. And, yes, of course they need to be concerned not just about the coronal flu virus, but all flu viruses. And that would just be a wise thing to do if you've got a compromised immune system. So I mentioned people under 5 because children under 5 don't have a fully developed immune system. And people over 80, typically, especially in the United States, have a compromised immune system, compromised to one extent or another. Now, if you're a husband and wife living on a ranch in Montana and you're 85 years old and you're doing ranch work every day and you're healthy and you're vigorous, don't worry about it. But if you're an urban dweller with a compromised immune system, 80, 85 years old, yeah, of course you should be concerned about any flu, not just this flu.
And by the way, the what people call the normal flu has a higher mortality or morbidity rate so far than this, based on the numbers, and the infection is more widespread. And I'm going to clear one thing up that I said earlier when I said, when I referenced bioweapon or said, you know, it looks like something engineered. There's two types of engineering. It's my understanding, or at least two. One would be, for use as a bioweapon. The second would be for use as like a vaccine experiment. The latter, of course, would be more dangerous than the former. But I'm not going to get into that level of granular detail at this point. So go ahead, John.
Well, we're going to have posted on my website a speech given by Bill Gates at a TED Talk. At the four-minute mark, he talked, well, first of all, the speech concerns Bill Gates' desire to wipe out 10-15% of people on the planet. That's the purpose of the speech. In the speech, he lists several ways to kill 10-15% of the people on the planet. One of the ways Bill Gates lists in the speech to kill off 10-15% of the people on the planet is by using vaccines. So that will be posted on my website soon, hopefully by the end of the day. I had my excellent research person, my marketing lady, Elizabeth in New York, find this for me. And it's prima facie evidence that they intend to kill people with vaccines. You don't need anything else. You don't need to be reading any complex, hard-to-understand medical literature. All you need to do is watch Bill Gates, in his own words, on video, talk about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Let me ask you a question, John. Why in the hell are these people like Gates and others, and some will say, well, that was a while ago, and the context, you got to understand the context. And no, I don't. It's pretty clear based on, you go to thelibertyman.com. It's pretty clear. Just watch it. But why are these people so intent on killing us? Do they hate us that much?
Well, they do, Doug. And, in our careers that you and I have had as investigators, we go places other people can only read about in Tom Clancy novels.
Yeah, but you know what, John? I got to tell you, I understand why those people hate us, and I understand why those people – but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Being in the same room with them and talking to them is a wake-up call. old money, we're not talking to people who earned money. It's basically – three ways you become wealthy. You can marry wealth, you can inherit wealth, or you can earn wealth. But these people with inherited wealth, that's who we're talking about here, they don't live lives like that we live. They grow up in a home where they reach their 18th birthday and never set foot in their own kitchen. They never drive an automobile. Why would you drive an automobile? I've been around these people, and they don't think like we do. They don't believe the things we believe. And I was talking to one of these individuals about some recent combat losses in Afghanistan, I may as well have been talking about a dog that got, a stray dog got hit by a car. That's how much concern he expressed over our combat deaths in Afghanistan. To him, it was nothing. To him, it was nothing. And that's the kind of people we're dealing with here, Doug. Now, Bill Gates did not inherit money. He made money, but he made incredible amounts of money through his efforts. And he's become part of that elite. And that includes the Clintons, of course, I believe most of the Bush family. I don't include Donald Trump because I've never seen any signs of that on his part. But many of the elites, they're part of that group of people who have that belief system that most of us out here, what I refer to myself and others as barefoot peasants, they could care less if we live and prosper. They would just assume that 90% of us were dead, as well stated on the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And with Bill Gates and with all of the social media people and the technology people, I should say, I believe that although they didn't inherit wealth, as you said, they created the wealth, but I think they had a whole lot of help, and this based on my research from Defense Department, the government in general. And, and you're right. I mean, look, you're right about one thing. And this always confused, I shouldn't say confused me. This always disturbed me as an investigator. And I'm sure that you might want to weigh in on this because people like to hear about this. You can sit in a room with a person who is real. I mean, a real, Manson-esque kind of person, but inwardly Manson-esque, if you know what I mean. I don't even know if I can describe that. And the conversation or the just listening to that person, it's like you're talking to, or listening to John. How would you describe it? It's surreal.
Well, it is surreal. I've sat in the interview room across from many, many hundreds of men and women charged with some of the most violent crimes you can imagine and no big deal crimes. And to have a man sit across from me and explain, just like he was talking about a chocolate chip cookie recipe, how one of his goals in life was to murder somebody. With no remorse, as if it's the most normal thing that you could imagine, such like ordering a pizza on the telephone. Just normal and a part of who he was. I sat across the interview table from another man. He was in lockup for stealing an automobile, and he was describing in great detail the next automobile he was going to describe. It was going to be a Chevy Impala. He described the engine, the transmission, the color paint it would have, the interior color, and the trim on the interior. Just like he was going to be buying the car. But he was giving great details on the next car he was going to steal. This another interview, and I did this several times, just to get confirmation. I asked a career criminal, and a lot of people are not career criminals, but this guy was a career criminal with a long history of arresting convictions. And I asked him the following question, Doug. I asked him, if there was a major matter such as a major flood, ice storm, tornado, what would your reaction be? And he used the plural when he said the following, referring to himself and his associates. We look at it as economic opportunity.
Yep.
And he was just as sincere and as forthright as he could be.
Is there, on this thread, on this topic, John, do you believe there is any degree or possibility of reform for these people?
Well, in the case of the man who wanted to murder somebody, he did, in fact, murder a young couple, man and a woman, in cold blood. We did not have the death penalty in Missouri back in 1973. There was a plea agreement, and he will spend the rest of his life in a special building we have set aside in Missouri for the criminally insane. And he will be there till the day he dies. He needs to be there till the day he dies. That's a good outcome.
Yeah, it amazes me. Now I don't agree with, but I can almost understand you know, things like revenge as a motive. When there's a motive that seems reasonable, and again, it's not me agreeing with it, it's just understanding the logical or somewhat logical idea behind it, you know, as opposed to this, I think these words are overused, psychotic, narcissistic, you know, these kind of,
Well, Doug, let me help you out here. In movies and TV shows and novels, there's lots of psychotic murderers. In reality, there's very few. They do exist, and I've only had a couple of them as clients. But they do exist. But they make for exciting novels and movies and TV
shows. Wait a minute. As clients or as subjects?
Well, as a defense investigator, they'd be clients.
Oh, okay. As clients. All right. Yeah, they're on the defensive side. Okay. Got it.
Right. There are actually few and far between, but there are genuinely psychotic murderers out there. And it's pretty scary to see this mindset, to work with these individuals. And something I'm always cautioning people when it comes to them trying to understand what's happened in any given crime. You have sane, rational people attempting to determine what somebody who's not sane and rational has done. And to do that is difficult, if not impossible.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, you make some very good points. And folks, John Moore, a fixture here every Monday on the Hagman Report, he's just a phenomenal guest. His CV, his resume is, you know, as long as this table is. I've got to tell you, he's combat, a homicide investigator. I mean, you name it, he's done it. So a lot of experience. His website, thelibertyman.com. And you can read. In fact, if you go there, you can, and I do suggest you go there. In fact, I suggest you bookmark the site. You can see his, resume, his experience. And of course, he's got right there on his websites, links to the novel Wuhan coronavirus, and of course the links to his various upcoming events, including, by the way, he's going to be speaking at the event not only this weekend on the cruise, but May 1st and 2nd in Indianapolis. That's Pastor Paul Begley's event. And click on that link there to register. I would urge everyone to register. If you're close, if you're within a day's drive, listen to what he's got to say. I guarantee you it's going to be just an incredible event, as is the Orlando conference coming up on the 8th. The cruise coming up.
Right.
So, yep.
Doug, you want to talk about our mutual friend, our acquaintance, Bill Shippers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, many of the employments I've had, and I've had many different employments the past half century, I did not apply for a job. I did not know a job existed. I was recruited. That's how I became a homicide detective. I was recruited by the public defender and his buddy, the former prosecuting attorney.
Seems to be the case, yeah.
So the summer of 2001, I was approached by Judicial Watch to take over and become the office manager for their new St. Louis office that they were going to open up. The final interview for that employment was to take place in Bill Shipper's office in Chicago with Larry Klayman.
Let me correct you. It's David Shippers. We have Bill on our mind. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, Bill on the mind. David Shippers, yeah, the former FBI agent, former prosecutor for the Clinton impeachment. Anyway, I was supposed to meet with Larry Klayman and Chris Farrell, his investigator, former CIA guy. So I show up there bright and early, and there's a handsome young man in the waiting room with a coat and tie on, and we just said hello, good morning. I found out I was invited into a meeting before my meeting that took place with David Shippers and Larry Klayman and the investigator, Chris Farrell. And the young man in the coat and tie was Special Agent Robert Wright, FBI. Hmm. The purpose of the meeting was to use the friendship that Larry Klayman had with the Attorney General of the United States to get the evidence necessary to issue indictments on a case file that Special Agent Wright had been working on involving Middle East terrorists. So I'm in this meeting. We're about 25 stories up overlooking Lake Michigan. And Special Agent Wright has this trial binder, a three-ring binder that you would use for a trial presentation. So I knew that this is the about the first week of August, give or take a week, about the first week of August 2001. So he's flipping through this trial binder, which I've made several of those myself, of course, in the course of my employment.
Sure.
And I stood behind him because I knew I would never, ever see this again. And it was just beautifully done, ready for the U.S. attorney to prosecute the Middle East terrorists for what they were doing. The reason Special Agent Wright was there, and this would be a career-ending event, by the way, to go outside a chain of command of the FBI and have somebody approach the attorney general. But that's what he decided to do. He thought it was that important. So we were speculating, the men in that room, the five of us, why wouldn't the FBI issue indictments? And we had several opinions, and then Special Agent Wright said, no, gentlemen, it's nothing that complex. There's no conspiracy. Here's the deal. Once you've got a file worked up to this point where it's ready to go to trial, you can come in for an hour a day, bring the file up to date, and go play golf. Once the file is turned over to the Department of Justice for prosecution, everybody gets reassigned to new cases, and they actually have to go to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. That was the only reason why. That was it.
That was it.
Now, 5 weeks, I guess would be 5 to 6 weeks later, was 9/11/01.
Right.
And following that event, I decided to go ahead and go public because I thought this information was valuable enough that people need to know what was really going on in the FBI. We've since found out that there were good patriotic FBI agents around the country doing similar things. The agent up in, I think it was Wisconsin, reporting Arab flight students only wanted to learn how to take off a plane and not how to land it. You know, that was, I mean, you remember that, right?
I do, yeah.
And other similar things that field agents were reporting in that once they got to higher levels in the chain of command were ignored time after time again. Now, the case file that Robert Wright had no bearing at all on 9/11/01 that I'm aware of, but it was just indicative of what was going on in the chain of command of the FBI, that they would sit on these case files rather than commence prosecution for purely selfish reasons.
You know, I was going to ask you how it got that way. When you look... But I guess you answered that question.
It's just human nature, Doug. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is.
Why would you go to work 8 hours a day if you can go to work 1 hour a day and then go play golf?
True. And an environment like that to me, now that's incompetence. I don't care. You know, that I believe that is also ripe for this infiltration. Not necessarily, but it's ripe for it. For the bad guys to direct the trajectory of the agency. And I think that we've seen that bad guys of different stripes doing so. So there's the incompetence. There's the intentional, misdirection of the agency in various field offices. And I think, I mean, it's a hodgepodge of things.
It's continued. It's continued. Donald Trump can only do so much.
Yeah.
All the protocols of the FBI, all the training manuals of the FBI, all the training itself eliminated any reference to Islam or Muslims.
Yes.
It's just gone. And the thing that got Lieutenant General Mike Flynn in trouble was writing the book where he basically said, how can you hope to engage your enemy if you're not even allowed to name who your enemy is, which was Islam. And he wrote and published that book while President Obama was president. So he got on the hit list really big at that time. And the people that went after General Flynn were holdovers from the Obama administration. Are you shocked or surprised?
No. And yeah, we have to remember Flynn's a Democrat. Not that party labels necessarily matter, right? But, and not only that, you know, Obama holdover, that's not to be a pejorative of Lieutenant General Flynn, but just think about the whole process in that context. I think it's just interesting, how this is playing out and how this works out. And by the way, John, I mean, you know, you got the head of the CIA picked by Obama, former national security advisor of Obama's. And you know, he was messing with, his various corporations messing with the passport files of Clinton and Obama and who was it? McCain. You know, and he's Muslim, maybe, but perhaps, probably.
John Brennan, of course, he's a Muslim.
Yeah, I believe it.
He's not trying to hide his Muslim faith.
Yeah.
How crazy is that to put a Muslim in charge of the CIA?
Well,
following 9/11/01, we had Muslim employees of the FBI refusing to investigate other Muslims. Now,
right.
There's not many people in this country who can speak Arabic. Most of them are Muslim. So I have no doubt whatsoever that most Arabic speakers in the FBI employment, as well as other federal agents, are probably also Muslim also, the majority of them. Certainly a Caucasian English-speaking person can learn to speak Arabic, but you've cut yourself off from very valuable resources when your own people refuse to investigate fellow Muslims. And I'm sure you remember those incidents.
Oh, yeah.
FBI agents refusing to investigate Muslims.
Have we successfully gotten most of those field level agents?
Well, I hope so. You know, it's not newsworthy. Apparently, it's not newsworthy to talk about what the outcome has been for agents who refuse orders. Now, that's called insubordination, I believe, whether you're a dump truck driver or an FBI agent. It's insubordination to go against orders.
Right.
And it's not apparently not newsworthy for us to find out what happened to these FBI. I don't know if they're – I'm saying employees because I don't know if they were agents or if they were civilian employees of the FBI. But regardless, if they're drawing a paycheck from the FBI and they refuse orders, that's clearly insubordination on the face of it.
True. That's very true. Yeah, it's – you know, I don't think people have sadly, it's – how can I put this now? You've got people who are blissfully unaware of things. One commercial I did happen to see just like 10 seconds of it, the Super Bowl during the Super Bowl was a guy walking around with a bad case of cranial rectal inversion, meaning he had his head up the, you know, which I thought was a little, so there are people like that or who are blissfully unaware of things. And then there are people who want to take it to the entirely different level of, man, everything is, you know, there's no incompetence. It's all evil. So,
right.
You know, I don't even know where I was going with that except to say, what the heck, man? I mean, really.
Well, we have a society that has many different people with many, many different points of view and thoughts. And that's just the nature of our pluralistic society that we call ourselves.
I call it something else, but we can move on from that. Yeah. What do you think? Which I want to ask you this too. What do you think of what you're seeing with respect to the infiltration? The very people that you talked about, the communists, the socialists, the
communists, socialists, Democrats, Muslims, yeah. What's the question?
How bad are we infiltrated by the communists and working in tandem, bizarre with the Islamists? I mean, how bad are we infiltrated? In your view?
Basically, our culture is completely compromised.
Yeah.
We've got the official policy of the Boy Scouts of America is that men sexually attracted to young men can be Boy Scout leaders.
Yep.
We have just announced in the last 24 hours that the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in New York is compelling these young cadets to have classes about white privilege and gender identity, and a bunch of silliness instead of teaching these young cadets how to be warriors, which is why they're there in the first place. When places like that, which I wouldn't call them holy because they're not holy, but they're foundational parts of our culture, foundational parts of our, of the most important parts of our society. When the communists have reached that level where they can influence what's taught at West Point, where they can make it appear to be normal that mentally ill men who are sexually attracted to other men should be Boy Scout leaders. I wouldn't say it's lost, but we got a lot of catching up to do, Doug, to remedy what's been changed. In the meantime, we had 20% of all the Boy Scouts in the United States left in one day. 20% left in one day.
Right. But that's not enough to do. You know, it's one thing to walk away. That's one way of dealing with it. But it's another thing to hit this head on, in my view, because we have to hit this stuff head on, and we've got to deal with this, and we've got to say, this is not okay. None of this is okay. You know, in my view, you can't have, guys transitioning to women into women and then going into their sports and their locker rooms. You can't have homosexuals as Boy Scout leaders, you know, pedophiles dealing with Boy Scouts. You just can't have this. So how do we deal with this, man? I mean, how
well, we have to deal with it locally. What was it that was said by the famous politician up in Massachusetts? All politics is local.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to get conservatives, especially conservative Christians, elected to school boards, elected to city councils, to be patriotic conservative Americans, to become sheriff. There's more than 3,000 counties in the United States, Doug. Now,
yeah.
There's something called Republican committeemen and committeewomen. And every county has a Republican Central Committee. Many of those elected offices go unfilled because people simply aren't interested enough to walk to the courthouse and file their name to be committeeman or committeewoman. So we need to start at the local level. All the things I mentioned, getting conservatives elected to these positions and local school boards, and the people at the higher levels of our system, that's where they start out. They start out running for state rep. They don't start out running for U.S. Congress. They run for state rep first. So we need conservative Christians running for state rep and running for state senator. U.S. senators don't start out as U.S. senator. They start out as a state rep or state senator. Then they become a congressman, and then they become a senator.
Right.
And that's how it works. And a very large percentage of conservatives, and especially conservative Christians, are not even registered to vote, let alone go to the polls and vote. We still have the numbers. We can still beat these people, and we will beat these people, but we have to be motivated to get people, the conservatives, to register to vote and actually show up polls, which is only 8 months away, Doug. The national election is only 8 months away.
Man, it's getting closer every day. Oh boy. I mean, that's a brilliant statement, but you're right. And you know, it's not just at the state level. You're right. All politics are local. You know, I was thought of you when I read this. Daniel Horowitz earlier today published a column at Conservative Review. New York crime skyrockets. Shootings up 60% following prison reduction agenda. You know, no ordinary person, Mr. Average, can't carry a gun in New York City, yet shootings are up nearly 60% since this time last year. And so yesterday, a pregnant woman was shot sitting in her car in front of her home in Queens. In fact, in the neighborhood that I actually did some investigation and surveillance at. And this is becoming the new normal in New York City after really the memo has gone out that criminals in New York, the politicians, well, they threw up bail. In other words, you get out on ROR, you know? It's just, it's amazing. Robberies increased 32, 33%. grand larceny auto crimes are up 63%.
It's happening in many states. It's happening. I have dinner with my sheriff once a month, and it's happening in Missouri too, where previously men would be incarcerated until they could post bail, and now they're just letting them loose. It's a bad idea that's going to have to run its course. And I, as conservative as Missouri is, I don't know how this thing even got passed, but it did. And it was a bad idea, and it will remain a bad idea until it goes back to the system that works.
It's a crap show, man.
Yeah. We had with a system that works.
Well, you know, and you said that about Missouri, and I think places all over are saying, how did this happen? You know, Texas, certain places in Texas, how did this happen? But it's happening, and you're right. So, you know, we do have to get involved. And folks, if you're young enough and articulate enough, not like me, you certainly can go out there and, become a delegate, become a member of the school board or city or county council and do something about it. But certainly, as John said, you've got to cast your vote in.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit. Well, let's say you've got a U.S. congressman that you want to influence about a certain piece of legislation. Don't send him an email. Emails are nothing. You want to send a letter, that gets some attention. Phone call gets more attention. But here's what would get even more attention. A small delegation, doesn't need to be 10 or 20 people, just 4 people. We'll say one of the delegation is a Republican committeeman. Another one is the president of the local Lions Club. And a third person is a pastor of a church. And maybe the fourth one owns a company that has 100 employees. Well, the congressman is going to know very quickly that these 4 people coming to meet with him can influence maybe 1,000 or 2,000 votes. You got his attention. When these 4 men and women walk into his office with the ability to influence 1,000 or 2,000 votes, which is very real, then you've got their attention. It's not just another letter from another citizen, not just another phone call. It's a delegation of people that he represents that can influence several thousand of votes, and which in many elections can make a difference whether you win or lose.
Right.
And if you do that, Doug, you're going to get attention. You will definitely get attention. You dress like you're going to Sunday school.
Yep.
You be polite. You have a very concise talking points. You leave behind literature about exactly what you want the congressman to do. And make your point, have a nice conversation, and leave. Now, that's the way to get things done, Doug.
And if that doesn't work, you can go to Plan B, which is what?
Well, here's what happened in Missouri. We have a governor who was not elected. He was appointed because our other governor had to resign. Lieutenant governor became governor.
Right.
And we've got several major from Missouri anyway, metropolitan St. Louis, Kansas City, Cape Girardeau, and Springfield. And to acquiesce to these metropolitan areas, the governor made some public statements that he might support some sort of gun control one way or another. Mm. Well, us conservatives made it very clear to him that if he supported any gun control at all, he was going to have a very serious, very well-funded primary election to deal with. And one thing that politicians really don't want is an expensive, serious primary to deal with, because it takes away from the general election. And we got his attention. And he, within a few days, he backed off from supporting any anti-gun legislation. And he will continue to.
Good. So that worked.
That worked.
Okay.
And I'll tell you who presented the pro-gun groups from Missouri, and there's about 6 of them, had a delegation that went and talked to the governor. And, Mr. Governor, if you do this, we will do this. And it was in the form of a polite discussion, giving very real consequences for the governor supporting any anti-gun legislation at all. Very real, very correct, and legal and proper consequences if he supported any anti-gun legislation.
Hmm. You know, I'm still looking at Virginia, despite the tens of thousands that showed up there. You're seeing a lot of oppressive and regressive gun legislation taking place, and unconstitutional, I should say, gun legislation being passed or being ready to be passed in Virginia. You know something? Sometimes I think these people, John, no matter what we do, are not going to listen. And in that case, yeah, we can vote them out, but in the meantime, they're going to create a lot of havoc and damage. And boy, I don't know, brother, you know.
Agreed. Well, that's where the sheriffs come in.
Yes.
I think many liberals, anti-gun liberals around the country had the following belief. If we pass a law concerning firearms, law enforcement will enforce them. Well, if they were paying attention to what happened in Virginia 2 weeks ago, they got a real serious wake-up call that no, law enforcement, especially these sheriffs, are not going to carry out unconstitutional laws. It's simply not going to happen. And at the very highest levels of the anti-gun campaigns, they have to be paying attention. They have to be scared to death because what they think will work is not going to work. And these sheriffs in Virginia have stepped up to the plate out of what's the numbers? It's about 90 sheriffs and 85 of them have become sanctuary counties.
Yeah. Yeah, it's numbers, about that.
Yeah, about that. Now, if I was an anti-gun liberal, I would be saying, let's just pack our bags up and go home because this isn't going to work. But they're going to keep trying. They think they can force sheriffs to carry out unconstitutional laws, to enforce unconstitutional laws. Well, they can't.
Right.
And they won't. And it's not just the sheriffs. It's the county government supports the sheriffs. And in the case of the cities and chiefs of police, the city council and the mayors support these chiefs of police. So they're up against a brick wall that they can't break down. They're making various threats. They're hollow threats about withholding funding. Well, that works both ways, Doug. Where's the funding come for us from in the first place? It comes from the county.
Yes.
And, if you owe me money, Doug, and I threaten not to give you any, well, guess what? You're not going to give me any at all, are you?
No. And you're right about that. Yeah. People think the government has money when, in fact, not so much. Okay. John, look, we got about 10 minutes left of the show. Earthquakes, asteroids, volcanic activity. You want to talk about anything there? We had some activity at Puerto Rico last week.
And we will continue to. Atlantic and the Caribbean are becoming a lot more active with volcanism and seismic activity, both. Scientists are kind of split as to where this is going to go and how fast.
Right.
We know ultimately all coastal areas worldwide will be inundated. People that are pretty low on the totem pole know that. Is this the beginning of that? I can't say. Will it happen at some point in the future? Yes, of course it will. And I don't know if it's 3 p.m. tomorrow or 30 years in the future. I simply don't have that information.
All right.
I think people will be well advised to live some distance and at least 900 feet above sea level. Some distance from these major bodies of water and 900 feet above sea level would be a really good idea.
Man, I think about this. I look at the Navy map. Folks, if you want to see the map, the Navy map, go to thelibertyman.com. As a matter of fact, that's John's website. Bookmark that website because so much great information is present at thelibertyman.com. So please do that and look at the map and look at all of the articles. I think about this and I'm thinking, I just wouldn't want to have beachfront property right now given the earthquakes that we saw. I mean, what would it take for like a tidal wave to hit, not a tidal wave, but even flooding, to hit Miami or beachfront property anywhere along the Florida coast? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just look at it and think, man, it's getting tenuous.
Well, it is. And people have emotional and financial attachments to their homes, their businesses, their community. And I can understand that emotional attachment. That's why after a hurricane, they rebuild rather than leave.
Right.
That's human nature. This is not a hurricane that's going to be rebuilt. Once this water comes up, they're done. They're finished. It's the end of it. And most people will not comprehend that and incorporate to the point where they mitigate to the to where they leave those low-lying coastal areas and move to high ground. They simply aren't going to do it until it's too late to save themselves financially. They may save their lives, but their economic wherewithal will be finished for a generation.
Yeah.
When their homes have been wiped out. That's my reality.
Well, and that's, you know, that's reality, I guess. I mean, you're looking at reality regardless. I got to ask you one last thing before. Well, we got to. What are you and Ted going to do, folks? This weekend at the Embassy Suites at Orlando North, there's going to be a conference on Saturday, February 8th, where John Moore is going to be speaking. Is that sold out, or can I still sneak my way in?
I won't be talking to the sponsor Steve Bendon until tomorrow. I haven't talked to him since last week. We still had seats last week.
Okay.
And I don't know if we do or not, quite frankly. I'll be Ted's house guest, and I don't know if Ted's going to be at the event or not. He's a busy guy with all the things he does. But it'll be a great conference. My friend Steve Bendon, former CIA field agent, his wife Jana from the Czech Republic. We're going to have a good time there.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to be able to kind of wear my field the fire marshal hat and sneak in. Well, of course, I don't have to do it because it's just under $28 per person. It's not bad. So, I'd be looking forward to that. Are you going to have, I got to ask you, I got an email about this. Is that going to be, not streamed, but recorded on a hard, on a DVD?
I haven't talked to Steve about that. If it is, he's setting it up. I don't know if he is or not.
Okay. All right.
To do that right, you got to have two cameras, shoot professional equipment, and so forth. If he's going to do it, I think he would have told me, so I don't know, quite frankly.
All right. Yeah, somebody asked me about that, and I had no clue, so I thought I'd ask you. I'm glad I did. All right, so, yeah, you're going to be with Ted this weekend, or this week. That'll be fun.
He's visited my home twice, and it's my turn to visit his home. I'm meeting with several other people down there, so it's going to be a very productive trip for me.
Well, since you're going to be in Florida, you can visit my coffee roaster and give them the what for, you know.
Well, I got your coffee right here, Doug, and I haven't got my mug yet.
I got to get you one of those mugs, but
this one has a British sports car on it. But I'm looking forward to getting my mug.
Yeah, I got to get you one. And folks, you can get your own mug at HagmanStore.com. That didn't come out right. You can get a mug at HagmanStore.com as well as the coffee. Okay, and there it is on the screen. But yeah, you know what, John? A lot of things happening. A lot of things happened since we last spoke on Monday. And, you know, we just have to kind of keep our eyes focused. Last question, this Senate impeachment trial, what a fiasco. What a fiasco. They ain't going to stop, I don't believe. Do you? I mean,
no.
It's okay.
Yeah. They'll find something like present the White House staff put the recyclable stuff in the regular trash and do an impeachment.
Oh, did you hear this? Yeah, I gotta ask you. I forgot about this, folks. This is what I heard. As a matter of fact, Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz were talking about this. They're before this is over, like within the next 72 hours, they're gonna come out with a woman and a dress with DNA on it. I'm serious. I'm not a la Clinton and Lewinsky. Or I'm not sure if it's a dress, but it's an item of clothing, DNA, and a woman with her testimony. Did you hear about that?
No, but what's the relevance of the impeachment? It's not evidence of anything connected to the impeachment.
Does it have to be relevant? I'm just telling you. It's going to be what's going to be.
It's the job of the judge to not allow irrelevant evidence to be presented.
I know that they're describing this as a bombshell, and I'm not kidding. I'm not joking around, folks. Okay, yeah, but
making fools of themselves. If they attempt to do that, they're just making fools of themselves.
Oh, indeed indeed they are. I don't know, but it just seems like the they're doing everything in their power, John, and you know this, and you've said this so many times on this program. Doing everything in the power to take this country down. And it's
absolutely.
All right, my man. Well, look, I'm going to let you go and get ready.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That was John Moore, folks. We are running out of time. That was John Moore, thelibertyman.com, gracious enough to give Ted the first hour today because Ted, of course, focused on the coronavirus. I think we did a pretty good job there. What do you think? It's one of those things where we have to keep our eyes really kind of focused on it. Now, John, of course, he's saying, you know what? You know, the flu is worse. Really, there is no evidence, as far as I can see. There is no evidence. There's a lot of direct evidence, that is. There's a lot of circumstantial, if not anecdotal evidence. There's a difference there that this was a man-made virus. Now, the reason, was it accidentally discharged, you know, or let out, or was it an experiment gone awry, or, you know, what was the purpose? And the other issue is, was this a bioweapon or a vaccine experiment? And if it was a vaccine experiment, then of course we've got a whole different motivation. And that's much worse, of course, than I would suspect that would be much worse, vaccine experiment on a percentage of the population than a bioweapon. And you might ask how that would be. Well, I think a lot of that has to go with motive and objective. So that's kind of the way I see it. But I would encourage people, look, you know what? One thing I didn't mention, or nobody mentioned this show. If you have the opportunity and your neighborhood Home Depot, Lowe's, you can buy those N95 surgical style dust masks or whatever you want to call them, if they still have them, because you may need them. And if you don't need them, you know what? They don't go bad. They don't spoil. They don't need to be refrigerated. Buy a box. And remember the other thing too. And this is something that I really, when I read this and I read about the airborne contagion factor about this, just, you know what? Always keep your immune system up, wash your hands, and do yourself a favor. Pick up an extra gallon of bleach, put it in, extra couple of gallons. Now bleach does lose its, efficacy after a while, but still, okay. Use that, keep that in your garage, under your sink, you know, in your basement, whatever it might be, because you can use that as a disinfectant / cleaner. Do the normal, obvious things, please. You know, I mean, I would say be aware of what's going on and be wary of misinformation, disinformation, and those calling misinformation fake news, whatever, when in fact it's not or may not be. So be aware, like everything else, people trying to control what you hear, control what you read. Frankly, I'd like to decide for myself. And that's where we're at with this, really. Now, next Monday, by the way, I think John's going to be in the, I'm not sure, he might be in transit, I'm not sure, but I'll have to talk with John this week to see what the schedule is for next Monday. Now, tomorrow, Stan Dale. This Thursday, I got to tell you, Steve Quayle is coming on with a very special guest. I can't wait for that. And Ted's going to be back again on Friday, but we're going to extend the show into some other topics as well. So it's going to be a good week, really a solid week. And I want to thank you. And don't forget, you did not miss the Patreon meeting last night. We're going to have that next Sunday at 7 p.m. for Patreon members. And I was talking to Eric today too. I want to do a little bit more, a few more reports from my office. I think as we get closer to, or as we get further into 2020, I really believe it's important that we do that. And I want to thank you for your patience for allowing me not to be here on Friday. I have to say that there are some things that are going on that you'll be hearing about. And we, I don't want to get into it except to say, you know what? Boots on the ground. It's easy to talk behind a microphone. It's very easy. It's easy to look at a headline and to analyze information. What's really hard is boots on the ground, being part of something out there that's changing things for the better. Coach Dave Dobmeier, Russ Dizdar, Craig Sawyer. Watch, you know, keep your eyes on those people. and us too. We'd like to think that we're changing things for the better. With that, I want to wish you a good night. God bless. Stay safe. And until tomorrow, just have a great night.